Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm trying out a new mic today. I'm just going to put that right there in front. And if it doesn't work, I have another mic here to just really jump in and use this. But I want to teach today, teach the Word of God. How many people have been blessed so far with the Signal Message Series? Amen. Hallelujah. First Sunday, we talked about the foundations of the voice of God. What are the foundations of the voice of God? And last week, we talked about accessing the voice of God. Four stages into accessing the voice of God. Amen. God's presence was so strong in this room. What a service. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But today we're talking about confirming the voice of God. Somebody shout, confirming the voice of God. Now, last week was fun. We were jumping up and down. It was amazing. It was crazy. The teaching today is a little bit strong. Somebody say strong. Somebody say help him, Jesus. Amen. Y'all pray for me, because today is not going to be jumping up and down, but God's going to speak to you today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Confirming the voice of God. Thank you, Lord. Should I get rid of this mic? 1, 2. There we go. All set? 2, 2, 1, 2. 1, 2. There we go. Confirming the voice of God. Well, let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16 from verse 16 to 18. Matthew chapter 16 from verse 16 to 18. By the way, all the MP3 messages and all my notes that I've been using for this message series are all online, and so you can go back and listen to the messages again and access all the notes. Amen? Amen. But let's learn how to confirm the voice of God. Let's learn how to confirm the voice of God. Last Sunday, we learned how to hear the voice of God. What are the stages? But now we need to confirm. You have to know that what you're hearing is indeed God and not that bad burrito you had last night. Amen, somebody. Are you really hearing God, or what you're hearing is based on that bad movie that you watched last night? Is God really speaking to you? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 16 from verse 16 to 18. This is a time when Jesus is asking his disciples, and he's saying, who do people say that I am? And the other disciples begin to take a hack at this question. Some say you're Elijah, you're Moses, you're John the Baptist. And Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter jumps up. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Somebody say amen. Amen. In other words, Jesus was saying to Peter, you just heard God. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. My Father in heaven has revealed this to you. In other words, you have heard God. How many people know it's a good thing to hear God? Now watch what happens in the next scripture. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, watch this, watch this, watch, watch this, watch this. Just a few scriptures later, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. Let me just throw a little word here and say, correction up is always out of order. Please don't rebuke your parents. You can make suggestions, and you can pray for them, but don't rebuke them. Now, you can contribute and say stuff, but correction up is always out of order. But he turned and said to Peter, this is Jesus, capital H. He turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Wow. Somebody shout, wow. You know I'm going to do this. Please say it backwards. Just a couple scriptures before this, Jesus is saying to Peter, yo, P, you just heard God. That's God who's speaking to you. Just a couple scriptures later, Jesus is saying, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. In other words, what you're listening to right now is the devil, not God. Hey, he says, matter of fact, you are an offense to me. You are an offense to me. Get thee behind Satan. Jesus was not really disrespecting Satan. He was just saying, disrespecting Peter. He was just saying, what you're listening to right now is not the voice of God. So impact, I want you to know that it's possible to hear God in one moment and completely miss him in the next. Because you heard God yesterday may not mean you're hearing God today. Because you're hearing God today does not mean you're automatically going to hear God tomorrow. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because there are always three voices that are fighting for your attention. Yourself, God, or Satan. Every time. Every single time. Yourself. Jesus says flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. In other words, there are times when it's actually flesh and blood that's speaking. That's you. And then he says, but my Father in heaven has revealed to you. So it's yourself, it's God, then it's the devil. The devil speaks. Yourself, flesh and blood. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. That's flesh and blood speaking. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do. To will and to do for his good pleasure. And then the devil will speak to you as well. Luke chapter 4 verse 3 says, and the devil said, somebody said, the devil said. I want you to know that the devil still speaks. The devil said to him, capital H, the devil had the audacity to speak to Jesus. He will speak to you and he will tempt you. Somebody shout amen. That's why we are raising prayer for believers in this house who know how to pray against the works of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody who knows how to bind the works of the enemy because the devil still speaks. Somebody say amen. By the way, I am very excited about next month. Somebody say August. In the month of August, we're doing a message series simply entitled The Holy Spirit. Ah, come on, come on, come on. Most misunderstood topic in Christendom, but we want you to operate under the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody shout amen. Amen. But every time you have three voices that are fighting for your attention, it's yourself, it's God, or it's Satan. So impact today, I want to give you five tests. Five tests. Talk to the person sitting to your left. Tell them five tests. I'm going to give you five ways for you to know whether what you're hearing is really God or not. These 5 points will become a filter by which you run everything that you're hearing through. And it's got to pass all the 5 tests for you to know this is God. If it doesn't pass, you want to look at it again. Amen. So we're going to do something cool in this place. I'm going to, when I lift my hand like this in this service today, I want you guys to shout, dead giveaway. Can we try? Can we try this? Here we go. 1, 2, 3, go. Dead giveaway. Come on, you've got to say it on top of your voice. Come on, somebody. Here we go. One more time. 1, 2, 3, go.
Dead giveaway.
If what you're hearing does not go through or pass one of these tests, it is a
dead giveaway.
Somebody shout amen. Amen. You guys ready? Number one, here's the question. Is what I'm hearing in agreement with the Word of God? Does it agree with the Word of God? If God is truly speaking to you, it's going to agree with His Word. Somebody say amen to that. God's will for your life will never contradict with His Word. Ah. To some Bible scholars here, let me say it this way. God's rhema will never contradict with his logos. Rhema simply stands for the inspired word of God, the spontaneous, inspired, spoken word of God. Logos simply stands for the written word of God, the Bible. God's prophetic voice, God's spoken word, God's spontaneous thoughts and impressions will never contradict with his word. If it contradicts with his word, it is a
genuine.
Come on, Impact, one more time. It is a
genuine.
It's summertime. We might as well have some fun in the house of God. Come on, somebody. Have you been to Fenway lately? Come on, they're having a party up there. Come on, one more time. It is a
genuine.
If it does not agree with his word, it's a dead giveaway. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why I'm raising my family on the foundation of Christ. He's the only thing that doesn't change. I'm raising my babies to believe in Christ Jesus because science will change. Opinions will change. Fashion will change. Jesus is the only sure thing that's not changing. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we serve a God who doesn't change? He is not moody. He's not schizophrenic. Come on. He is consistent. His name is Jesus. People will change up on you. Your parents may change up on you. The government can change. It does change. Things change around you. But Jesus is the only sure thing that will remain. Come on, somebody. Let me get a witness in this place. Come on. Hallelujah. Let's worship him. Let's take 60 seconds and worship him. God, we thank you for being unchanging. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. He's unchanging. The Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 21, verse 33, heaven and earth will pass away. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. Please write this down. Truth is eternal. Truth is eternal. God doesn't change his mind. What he said yesterday stands today. Because he understands yesterday, before God stands, he is an Alpha and an Omega. Before he beginning, before he ends, he's already begun. He knows everything. So truth never changes. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Woo! Scientists used to say the world was flat. And then they came back and said, oopsies, we missed a little detail. It's actually round now. Come on, somebody. I remember a time when nutritionists used to say that rainwater was the most healthiest thing you could ever drink. And my daddy just believed that all the way. So we used to get these little buckets and put them on the roof. Label them Zenzo. Zenzo's water. Nobody touch it. Put it in the fridge. And dad had a big jug of rainwater. Nobody touch this. One day it rained. I said, Dad, come on, let's go. He said, Zenzo, no, we're not doing that today. I said, what happened, Dad? He said, a new study came out. Rainwater is not good for you. It's acidic. I said, Dad, science changes. Opinions change. Fashions change. I remember a time I used to wear baggy pants. You could make shirts for my whole family out of these pants. Come on, anybody remember this? Come on. You'd be sweeping the road while you're walking like this. And sometimes you had to hold them like that. And then fashion changed. Now they say, let's sag our pants. Anybody remember that? You had to sag your pants all the way here? No? Church people? That doesn't work for African people. Fashion changes, but the truth of the word of God remains the same. Somebody shout hallelujah. If God is really speaking to you, it's going to line up with his word. A businessman came to me one time and said, Pastor, God's speaking to me this year that I need to do some things. I need to be strategic and that God doesn't want me to pay my taxes this year. One, two, three, go. The Bible says, render to Caesar what belongs to who? That's not God who's speaking to you. Another person came to me and said, Pastor, we're really broke. We can't afford our bills. And we just feel like this year, God is giving us a waiver to not pay our tithes. Gets quiet in the room. One, two, three, go. We're a covenant people. What God is speaking to you now is not going to be inconsistent with his word. Recently, a young man came to me and said, Pastor, God is telling me to divorce my wife. Took me to lunch. Bought me some lunch to talk to me. I said, man, I literally felt like I came all this way to this meeting for this. Seriously, you brought me to this meeting to tell me you want to divorce your wife. I said, okay. Has she cheated on you? Because that's the only biblical grounds. And even then, I'd be begging you right now to forgive her. And he said, no, Pastor, she's just really nosy. She's a liar. She's a gossiper. And God's speaking to me to change my career and become a pastor like you. And I just figured she won't make a good pastor's wife. I said, brother, this is not a career. This is a calling. Come on, somebody. The Bible says God hates divorce. It took everything in me to not smack that brother without prayer. I said, seriously, brother, I was really disappointed. I said, brother, come on. That's not the word of God. Go work this thing out. She's a good lady. Help her out. Somebody say amen. Amen. I can't tell you how many times single people come to me. Ladies, Pastor, God's been speaking to me. I need to marry Johnny. He's really sweet, Pastor. He opens doors for me, Pastor. He's melting my heart. Pastor, he's so good to me, Pastor. But Pastor, it's just one little detail. He's not really saved yet. And I just feel the Lord saying, if he marries me and he experiences my love, he's going to give his love to Jesus. One, two, three, go. Hey! I had to do that one in African style. Come on. Hey! God's trying to protect you. Let's go to the next one. Amen. Does it make me more like Jesus? If God's speaking to you, it's going to make you more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I want to be more like you. Father, raise up a church of a people that are more like you. Come on, pray with me. Father, help us to be more like you, Jesus. Help us, Father, we pray. Jesus is the standard by which you measure all thoughts and impressions. If you're hearing the voice of Jesus, it's going to make you more like him. Jesus is not going to tell you to do something that looks more like the devil. If it doesn't make you look more like Jesus, it's not Jesus. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 3:18, so all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Glory to God. That's who I want to be. Jesus wants us to be more like him. If what you're hearing is Jesus, it's going to make you behave like him. So I want to give you something that I call the Christ-like checklist. The Christ-like checklist according to James chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. It is earthly, sensual, demonic. It is earthly, sensual, demonic. Let me find my scripture back here. I just clicked to the wrong place here. Here we go. We're back. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen and amen. If we're going to clap, let's do it well for Jesus. Hallelujah. So out of the scripture here, there are 9 things. Number one, if you've heard God, it's not going to be motivated by envy, not motivated by selfish ambition. It's going to be pure, peace-loving, gentle, and considerate. It's going to be willing to yield. You're going to be willing to yield. If you've really heard God, you're going to be submissive, full of mercy, impartial, and not hypocritical. Let's go back to the top. If God is really speaking to you, it's not going to be motivated by envy or retaliation. I've heard people say, God's speaking to me to do this thing. And when God does it for me, oh my God, those people, I'm going to rub it in their face. They're going to know that what they did to me, God's telling me to do this thing here, and I'm just going to prove them wrong. 1, 2, 3, go. Not motivated by selfish ambition. I'm going to become so good. I'm just going to do this. Oh, my God. They're going to all say, wow, look at him. Look at her. Oh, my God. He's the best. They're going to be so jealous of me. 1, 2, 3, go. If God is speaking to you, it's going to be pure. It's going to be peace-loving. In other words, there's no confusion in it. There's harmony. Hallelujah. It's going to be gentle. You're going to be considerate. Because if God is speaking to you, it's going to bless other people too. Hallelujah. It's going to be full of mercy. When you hear somebody saying, God's speaking to me, I'm doing this, and I just really believe I'm the only one doing it well. Those other people, they're crazy. If somebody's saying God's speaking to them and they're so judgmental, that's not God. Because the voice of God will make you more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Impartial. It is impartial. In other words, if God is speaking to you, you're not controlling other people. God's not telling you to control other people. And then finally, not hypocritical. Somebody came to me one time and said, Pastor, God is telling me that I'm now a nutritionist. Pastor, please stop eating that rice. Don't eat bread. Don't eat fries. The devil is a liar. Don't eat this. Don't eat cakes. Don't eat. Of course, we have to eat healthy. Amen, somebody. We are a healthy church. But this person who was telling me all this, they were going back home and stuffing their mouth with rice. How many people know God will not speak to you just because he wants to speak to somebody else? Now, there are times you will confirm the voice of God in other people's lives, but if God is speaking to you, that thing concerns you, and it's not going to make you a hypocrite. If God is speaking to you, he's going to give you the strength to do what he's telling you to do. Amen? Number three, here's the third test. If God is really speaking to you, you have to test it. Do the unbiased and mature believers in my life confirm it? Let me say that again. It's a little quiet in this room. Let's try that again, brother. Here we go. Do the unbiased and mature believers in my life confirm it? Can I get an amen, somebody? Come on. Help a brother out. This is a tough one. And many people make mistakes because of this one right here. If God has genuinely spoken to you, he will confirm it through the wise counsel of unbiased, mature believers. Because you're part of a family. Matter of fact, if you are resistant to having your idea tested by others, that resistance is not from God. That check. Now, you've got to be careful. There are some people, there are some believers who are biased. But if you meet somebody who's mature, they are unbiased, they love you for real, they care for you. And if you feel that you're resistant to going to them and talking to them, you've got to check that. It's got to be a reason why you don't feel the peace to talk to them. The Bible says, Proverbs 11, verse 14, where there's no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1. This will be the third time I am coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. What are the people in your life saying? The people who love God for real, the people who are unbiased, what are they saying about what you're hearing? Because God will use them to protect you. It will save you time, money, reputation, unnecessary mistakes and embarrassment. Oh, somebody say amen. One time a young man came to me and said, I feel like going to Europe. I said, hey man, that's cool. 2 weeks later he came and said, God told me to go to Europe. Within 2 weeks, it changed from I feel like to God told me. And he said, Pastor, what do you think? I said, man, I have reservations for a young person like you, single, going to Europe by yourself. The Bible says Jesus sent them in twos. So I said, hey, why don't you continue hearing God? I don't claim to know what you're hearing, but I'll pray for you to hear God. And I said, listen, your parents love God. Your parents are amazing believers. What are they saying? Oh, Pastor, those people are against me. They don't want me to step out in faith. They never stepped out to do anything. They want me to be just like them. I said, wow. And then he said, I said to him, how do you know that God is really speaking to you? He said, Pastor, this was 10 years ago, a long time ago. He said, Pastor, I told God to confirm this, and I was driving this morning, and the car in front of me had a bumper sticker that said Paris. So we're going to Paris. Now, I know there are times where God will use different things, interesting things to confirm his word. But the scripture says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, his word is established. And I was joking around and I asked him, I said, hey, what would happen if tomorrow you were driving and you saw another bumper sticker that said Baghdad? Are you really going to be going to Afghanistan? Oh, Pakistan, actually. We are biased people. We see what we want to see. And many times we think it's God, but we see what we want to see. First week, I feel like going to Europe. Second week, God is telling me. That's why it's very safe to run it by mature believers. Somebody say amen. So I want to charge you as the church. I want you to know that God uses your mouth as a member of the body of Christ to confirm his voice in other believers. That's why when somebody comes to you as a believer and says, God is telling me this, what do you think? Please don't just open your mouth and say stuff because you want to please somebody. Pray. And if you're not hearing anything, say, I'm going to continue to pray for you so you can hear God. And I pray that God will remove a people-pleasing spirit in us, in Jesus' name. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 9, with their words, the godless destroy their friends. Ooh. With their words, the godless destroy their friends, but knowledge will rescue the righteous. I want you to know that when you begin to give somebody an advice and you're not hearing from God, that's godless. And I know many people in church that have given people bad advice and contaminated the voice of God. You've got to remember that God uses your mouth. You have a responsibility as a believer to represent and to confirm the voice of God. If you don't know what you're saying, just say, I'm going to pray for you. Sometimes the best thing I can ever say as a pastor to someone is, I don't know. I don't know. Listen, I want to set you free from this mentality where you feel like you're going to be a mature believer if you know everything. Sometimes the most mature thing to say is, I don't know, but I'm going to pray for you. Because God is using your mouth to confirm his voice. You have to take it seriously. Sometimes the best thing I say to people is, I can't advise you on this one because I am biased. I am biased. I'm not the best person to advise you on this particular one because I'm biased. If somebody said, hey, Pastor Zenzo, we're putting a team together and we're thinking about leaving your son out from this basketball team. He's not good enough. I feel like God's saying that. What do you think? I'll say, brother, I'm biased on this one. I'm disqualified to say something on this particular matter because I am biased. Because, of course, I want my son to be on that team. And sometimes that's the best thing you can say to someone. I don't know, or brother, I am biased on this one. I'm going to pray for you so that God would speak to you, because I value what God is saying and I value my responsibility as a believer enough to not contaminate the voice of God. Hallelujah. Come on, if we're going to clap, let's do it well. Come on, let's worship Jesus. Thank you, Father. Have you ever seen those people who go to American Idol and they're tone deaf and they open their mouth and they begin to sing, I believe the children are the future. And Simon is like, ridiculous. And Randy is just like, ah, hey, my man, hey, my man. And what's sad is those people say this. They say this. Everybody loves me. My mama loves my singing. My whole family. My whole church loves my family. Well, they're lying to you. And the sad thing about those people is not the fact that they can't sing, because everybody is a 10 in some area. Everybody has something they can do well. The sad thing about those people is that they don't have people who love them enough to be honest with them. And tell them that this area may not be your 10. Let's help you find an area where you are a 10. Hallelujah. That's a test. Test number four. Test number four. And listen, before we go to test number four, here's another thing I found. The other thing I found. When I don't want to receive the voice of God, I'll go to 7 people and ask them. And they say, no, man, no, Pastor. Then. And then I'll find the one. Because many times we don't want to hear the voice of God. We're looking for people to endorse our mess. And that's immaturity. And many people do this. They'll go to 7 people. No, that's not the voice of God. That's not the voice. And they'll find that one immature people-pleasing person who say, go, you go, girl. You go for it. You go for it. And many people have found themselves in trouble because of this. But thank you, Jesus. We are raising up a church of mature believers who love people, who fear God and only God, who will speak truth in love. Let me say this, in love. Somebody shout in love. Because you're supposed to speak truth doesn't give you the permission to be mean to people. It's not God if you're being mean to people. The church lifestyle of demeaning people, talking down on people, that's not of God. Nobody has been given the green light from God to do that. If you're in the presence of a true man and woman of God, even when they correct you, you feel empowered. Yes. Come on, somebody shout amen. Yes. Number four, is it consistent with my design? Is it consistent with my design? Is it consistent with how God shaped me? Before you were born, God had a purpose for you to fulfill on earth. And he shaped you for that purpose. In other words, God will not lead you in a direction that's inconsistent with your shape and design. God had a plan for you. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God had a plan for you a long time ago, and he designed you and shaped you for that purpose. Your design and your shape reveals your purpose. Please write this down. Your God-given shape reveals your purpose. And shape, the S is for spiritual gifts. The H is for your heart, passions. God will give you passions for things he wants you to do. The A is abilities. God wants you to sing. You will know how to sing. The P is personality. And the E is experiences. Your shape reveals your purpose. Romans 12 verse 6 says, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. In other words, there's other things you're just not going to do well, because God didn't call you to do those things. So if God begins to speak to you, or if a prophet came to you and said, thou says the Lord, thou shalt join the Impact worship team and thou shalt begin to sing, and the presence of the Heavenly Father, God Almighty, shall begin to fall down when thy singeth, and you are tone deaf, please smack that prophet. God will not speak to you and lead you to do something that's completely opposite with the design He had for you. God is not trying to embarrass you. He's a good father. Hallelujah. If God begins to speak to you and God begins to say, hey, I need you to join iKids, and you don't have love for kids beyond your own kids, you're going to be in there laying hands on kids without prayer. We love to say this, but it's not really theologically correct. We love to say, you can do anything you want. Please don't tell your kids you can do anything you want. You need to tell your kids you can do all that God has designed you to be. You can be everything God designed for you to be. You're not just going to do anything. Pastor Zenzo cannot be Michael Jordan. I don't have the palms and the height. I don't have the shape. I don't have the spiritual gifts. I don't have the heart. I don't have the passion. I don't love basketball that much. I play it with my son almost every day. But Michael Jordan has to play basketball. He used to play basketball every single day, 24/7, practicing hours upon hours. Well, God wouldn't tell me to do that if it's not in my heart, if I'm not passionate about it. God is not trying to punish me. Somebody say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's do the fifth one here and close. Do I sense the peace of God about it? Do I sense the peace of God about it? Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Be anxious for nothing. If it's God who's speaking to you, there'll be no confusion. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You feel the peace of God. I want you to know that God loves you. God loves you. That's deep. God loves you. God does not want to confuse you. When I say stuff to my kids, I don't want to confuse them. I want them to understand. I want this to be clear to them. I want you to know that God loves you. When He speaks to you, He will not confuse you. It will not be chaotic. It will be clear. Run these five things and confirm the word of God. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Right there, every eye closed, every head bowed. I believe right now that God is speaking to someone in this room, and here's what He's saying. He's saying you need to give your life to Jesus. I believe God is speaking to somebody in this room, and He's saying you need to consider salvation. How do I know this is God? Well, let's test this. Five things. Number one, does it agree with the word of God? Yes, God wants you saved. Number two, does it make you more like Christ Jesus? Yes, it does. Number three, do the unbiased and mature believers in my life confirm it? Every believer in this room can confirm that giving your life to Jesus is just about the best thing you can ever do. Number four, is it consistent with my design? Absolutely yes. Matter of fact, walking around this earth without Jesus, you're going in the opposite direction with your design. It is consistent. It is your very design. It is the call of your design. Number five, do I sense the peace of God about it? Well, that deep, warm feeling that you're feeling right now, that thing you're feeling right now within you, I know you are feeling it because I can feel it. The presence of God is in this room. That's God confirming that you need to give your life to Jesus today. If it's God who's speaking to you, that voice will pass the test, all the five. And we just passed the test, which means you have no argument. You have nothing else to say now but to finally commit your life to Jesus. This is the day. Now is the time of salvation. The presence of God is in this room. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to count 1, 2, 3. And there are many people in this room today that are going to lift up their hands and say, Jesus, I want to follow you. The people in this room, you've fallen away. You know you're not walking with God the way you ought to. He loves you. He doesn't want to confuse you. He cares for you. I want you to throw your hand up and say, I want to say yes to Jesus. And there's some people in this room, you're just confused. You follow Jesus today and then you fall off, you're up again and down again. You're just confused and you just want to affirm your decision and say, yes, I believe in Jesus. I'm going to count 1, 2, 3. And I want you to lift up your hand and make the best decision you can ever make. Hallelujah. If I have some mature sense in the house, begin to pray. Begin to pray for somebody. Begin to pray for somebody. Begin to pray for somebody. I'm getting ready to count. Here we go. Here's a moment of destiny. Here's a moment of impact. 1, 2, 3. Hands, 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 hands. Thank you for all those hands. Thank you, Jesus. Ah. Thank you, Jesus, for those hands. Thank you, Jesus, for those hands. Thank you for these lives that are being impacted today. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down. Please pray this prayer with me. And believers in this place, please, help them pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I say yes to you. I surrender to you. I believe in my heart and I confess my mouth. Jesus Christ, you're the Lord of my life. You died and rose again. Today, I receive you. Come on, stand and let's put our hands together and celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah.